is the Hot Corner on the Sports Superstation with your host, Ryan McKenna.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host for the show, our 11th of the 2009 Major League Baseball season, Ryan McKenna. In this show, we will have our feature of the month for the month of July, which will feature our guest analyst from Akon Stats on You, Adam Connolly, where we will chat about the upcoming non-waiver trade deadline on July the 31st. This feature of the month will be a two-part series, so gear up, because here we go. We are just 2 seconds away from the Confederation Bridge here in Borden, Prince Edward Island. We're here at Gateway Arena, and with Adam Connolly. How's it going, Adam?
Good, how are you?
Great, thanks. All right, Adam, so we've got our first part of the feature of the month here. So are you ready to get started?
No question.
All right.
The Hot Corner, feature of the month.
First question that I've got for you, Adam. There's been a large amount of speculation surrounding the ace pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays, Roy Halladay, with their general manager, J.P. Ricciardi, saying earlier this week that he would listen to offers for a star pitcher. Let's be honest here, Adam. Will there be any seriously good offers for this magnificent pitcher before the trade deadline? And if so, what teams do you see as buyers for Halladay service?
I think there will be some offers. I don't know what the percentage is that he will get traded. It seems that the interest has kind of gone down a little bit since it first came out. Some of these quote-unquote experts thinking that there may only be a 15 or 20% chance that he gets traded, but definitely a possibility. Teams I would look at right now would be Philadelphia, St. Louis, possibly the Dodgers, and I always got to look at Boston and New York. I'll always get in on guys like this too.
Okay. Probably. Now, what do you see as being returned going back to the Jays if this deal goes down? Like, what kind of names are you throwing out here?
Well, the Phillies probably could come up with the best package if they're interested. They have a few good young prospects. Kyle Drabek is a really good young pitching prospect. Michael Taylor and Dominic Brown are two of their top outfield prospects. They could probably give up one of those. Toronto's looking for some middle infield help. Philadelphia's got a young fellow named Jason Donald, who is an up-and-coming shortstop. So those would be some of the guys you'd probably hear from Philadelphia, as well as possibly J.A. Happ, who actually had pitched a complete game shutout against the Blue Jays there a couple weeks ago. So apparently there were scouts down looking at him. For St. Louis, there was talk actually last week that St. Louis were going to give the Blue Jays a choice of any five of their prospects. One problem with that is their prospects just aren't quite up to snuff compared to the Phillies. They have their big slugging third base prospect, Brett Wallace, who would be a dandy to get. He would have to be included, but after that, they kind of fall off a little bit. Regarding the Dodgers, there was talk that they would probably need to give up more of their MLB-ready talents, like Clayton Kershaw, but don't imagine the Dodgers are going to want to give up someone young like that who's cost-controlled for so much longer than Halladay is. Doesn't seem to be a lot of interest, surprisingly, from Boston or New York just yet, particularly Boston. They definitely have the financial flexibility to do it, but Theo Epstein's always been so cheap regarding giving up his young pitchers, but any deal with them would probably have to start with Clay Buchholz, who, of course, we know already threw that no-hitter, and then some of their other young guys, Lars Anderson or even Daniel Baird. The Yankees, anything, would probably start with Phil Hughes and have to include some of their young guys like Jesus Montero or Austin Jackson, and they'd have to go from there. But it doesn't look like, right now anyway, that Boston and New York are really, really in on them. But that could change, of course.
If it is Boston, how would Halladay fit into their starting rotation with already six starting pitchers?
Well, that's a good question. We have to think that obviously someone's going to get bumped. John Smoltz finally had a good start there over the weekend, so I think they would give him a shot. If they were to bring Halladay in, obviously Beckett and Lester would stick around, no, for sure. Which would be a sick top three. Facing those three in the playoffs would be almost unfair. But as far as who would get bumped out, I would have to think maybe they would deal Brad Penny. There was some talk of Penny being on the trading block there before Matthew Zocca got hurt, so you'd probably see him move, just a guess. But again, as of now, it doesn't really look like that's going to be a possibility.
All right, awesome. Let's move on to my second question for this week. We talked about it briefly in our last episode involving the slugger that's playing for the Athletics, outfielder Matt Halladay. The Hot Corner has learned that St. Louis is quite interested in his services. What are your thoughts on this deal taking place? Will it get done, or will Matt Halladay remain an Oakland Athletic on July the 31st?
There hasn't actually been a whole lot over the internet or anything just yet that I've seen on Halladay, although I do know St. Louis would be one of the destinations. They were one of the teams that were really looking at him back in the offseason before he was traded to Oakland. Of course, Halliday's production this year has been low par compared to what he was like in Colorado, so I don't know if Oakland would get the type of prospects in return that they would be looking for just half a year. Plus, Halliday's not exactly cheap. His contract, I think, would be a prorated $13 million to pay for the rest of the year. So I would be kind of surprised if he is dealt. Like I say, Oakland just, he hasn't been hitting as well to this point as he has in the past, so I don't think that they would get enough for him. But, I mean, Oakland's kind of in last place. They don't look like they're going to be in the playoffs, so if they can get something better than the draft picks they would get by letting him go as a free agent, then we may see something there. But as of right now, it doesn't look like he's going to go anywhere.
Troy Glaus just started his rehab assignment on the weekend there, too. So
that's true, yeah. I mean, St. Louis could definitely use him because, I mean, they need another big bat behind Pujols because he's just going to get the Barry Bonds treatment and get walked more and more and more.
Yeah.
So if they could get a big stick to stick in behind him, that would be something they really should look at doing if they have the salary flexibility to do that. And Halliday, I think, back in the NL, probably would pick up his supporting it a little bit, but it's hard to say what will happen there.
And just a note to our viewers here, if you're hearing any rain in the background, it is a thunder and lightning storm here in Prince Edward Island this morning. So hopefully you can hear us all right. One final question for you here, Adam, before we let you go. This one is a free agent on the market and probably a former favorite player of yours, as a Red Sox fan you are, Pedro Martinez. Will he be signed before the end of the year, and to which team?
As of last week, it looked like he was getting closer to signing with Philadelphia, actually. The Phillies need some pitching help, and Pedro, I guess it's a mutual interest there. The problem with Pedro is that he's still asking for a prorated $5 million contract, which is a little bit pricey for a guy who hasn't pitched for a while and really struggled the last couple of years. So I don't know if that will be an issue or not, but last I heard, he was even, Philadelphia went down to take an extra look at him and stuff, so I think he will be signed. I think Philadelphia will be the team that he would go to. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of interest from anybody else right now.
If Philadelphia does happen to sign Pedro, does that impact their chase of Roy Halliday?
I don't think so, because Pedro's not the type of workhorse that they're looking for. Their head coach, Charlie Manuel, came out and said, basically, in not so many words, that they don't want, you know, a five-inning pitcher. They want someone that can go deep into games and save their bullpen a little bit. And that's definitely not what Pedro's going to do. Pedro, even towards the end of his career with the Red Sox, was you know, not much more than a six-inning pitcher. So they're looking for a workhorse. Pedro isn't going to fill that role. I mean, he could definitely come in and be successful, but I don't think it'll impact their pursuit of Halliday. If they want Halliday, they're going to get him regardless of whether they sign Pedro or not.
Exactly. And finally, to wrap up, I know I said the last question was going to be my last question, but do you have some extra guys to add to our list before we do our part two episode next week?
Well, a few guys I think just to take a look out for. There was some talk of Garrett Atkins possibly going to the Red Sox. At a level of that will depend over the next week or so, probably when Boston will evaluate Mike Lowell. If Lowell looks like he's going to be out long term, Boston's going to be in line for a corner infielder, either a third baseman to replace Lowell, which Atkins would fit the bill for, or perhaps they would move Uphas over to third and look for a first baseman, but Atkins is the name to look out for there for sure. Doug Davis is another one. He's having, despite his record, he's having a very stellar year for the Diamondbacks, and some talk of him possibly maybe with the Brewers, but that's a left-handed pitcher that could be on the move. A couple other guys kind of revolve around the Blue Jays. I think if they move Halliday, they may as well sell the farm, so a guy like Scott Rolen, who of course had this hit streak just ended the other day, but he's having a great year. Someone like Lyle Overbay could be moved. There's some talk of Alex Rios, possibly. So a couple of those guys. I think the Jays obviously would love to move Vernon Wells, but I don't think anyone's going to take that contract. But
just hit him 183 with runners in scoring position.
Oh, yeah. He's really struggling. He's been struggling really since he signed his big contract, unfortunately. And it's got another 6 years, I believe.
Same with Rios as well.
Yeah, so moving those guys is going to be tough. But the Blue Jays will be probably the most interesting team to look at. A couple other big names that are doubtful to move, although you never know, are both with Cleveland, with Cliff Lee and Victor Martinez. I think it would take a pretty substantial package of prospects to move either of these guys, but those are some guys I know some of the teams are inquiring on, so there'll be a couple guys to look out for too. So over the next week, before we do part two of this this feature of the month, will be interesting, and hopefully this time next week we'll have a few more answers.
Thank you, Adam, for your input on the show this week, and we'll see you on the show next week.
Alright, thanks for having me again. I look forward to it.
Awesome. You just listened to our first part of the Hawk Corner's look at the upcoming trade deadline on July the 31st. We will now kick things over to the news, where we have all your All-Star roster and Home Run Derby needs.
The Hot Corner News. All right, as we didn't have an episode last week, we will name off now the 2009 Major League Baseball All-Star rosters, which starts this evening with the Home Run Derby. You can see it on Fox. For the American League, the starting catcher will be Joe Mauer from the Twins. First base, we got Mark Teixeira. Second base, filling in for Dustin Pedroia, is Aaron Hill. Shortstop, we got the veteran Derek Jeter. At the hot corner, Evan Longoria of the Rays will take his place there. The outfield shapes up like this: Jason Bay, Ichiro Suzuki, and Josh Hamilton. The starting pitcher for the American League will be Roy "Doc" Halladay, the well-talked about, as we talked about earlier in the show, righty who is on the trading block. And he has been outstanding this year. 10-3 is his record. For the National League, a couple Cardinals start off the depth chart like this. Behind the dish is Yadier Molina. And at first, Albert Pujols. Second base, we got Chase Utley. Shortstop, Hanley Ramirez. The number five position, third base, David Wright. And the outfield will shape up like this. Jason Wirth will fill in for Carlos Beltran. Ryan Braun from the Brewers is another outfielder. And topping off the outfielders is Raul Ibanez, who has had a great year so far with the Phillies. The starting pitcher for the National League will be Tim Lipscomb. The NL Cy Young winner last year has had another outstanding year this year. Let's see our participants for the Home Run Derby that'll take place tonight. For the National League, we got Prince Fielder, Adrian Gonzalez, Ryan Howard, and Albert Pujols. For the American League, representing them will be Brandon Inge, Carlos Pena, Joe Mauer, and Nelson Cruz. Now, my take on the winner this evening, I gotta go, or who will be in the finals at least. For the finals, I'm thinking Mauer or Pena could make it there, as well as Pujols and either Howard or Fielder. You can't go wrong, really, with anybody in the NL, as long with anybody in the AL, really. I guess that's why they're there. But my pick, the winner tonight, will be Albert Pujols. He knows the field the best, and he knows where all the good parts of the field are. All right, so that'll wrap up our All-Star talk. We'll move on now to news that happened over the past week. Three trades to talk to you about that occurred this past week as the deadline nears us. Ryan Friel was the first move. He went to Kansas City for cash compensation. Friel was earlier moved from the Orioles to the Cubs, where he just never really settled in either Baltimore or Chicago. The New York Mets and Atlanta Braves swapped outfielders later in the week, with Ryan Church heading Atlanta way and Jeffrey Coor going to the Big Apple. At the time of the trade, Church was batting 250 with two dingers and 22 RBIs, filling in for the injured Carlos Beltran, while Frank Coor, who was batting 225 with five home runs and 35 RBIs, had that unreal first year in Atlanta, but was never really the same after the 2006 campaign. Finally, the Mariners traded Yunesky Betancourt to the Kansas City Royals for two minor leaguers. Jonathan Sanchez makes a spectacular start on Friday night. Sanchez got dropped from the Giants' starting rotation 3 weeks ago, but made an emergency start for the injured Randy Johnson and threw a no-hitter. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it turned out to be a great move for the Giants. This was the first no-hitter of the season to date, and it was very nice for Jonathan, as his father was in attendance for the game, and he was also the first Giants pitcher to do this since 1976. Congrats, Jonathan. After much speculation over the past month, finally, Manny Acta has been fired. He told ESPN.com himself that he was fired after the Nationals lost on Sunday evening. The Nationals' record right now is at a poison 26-61. The Blue Jays made room for Scott Downs coming off the disabled list on Wednesday by releasing struggling lefty and former closer BJ Ryan. BJ never really found his groove with the Blue Jays this season, going 1-1 with a 6.53 ERA and going 2-for-4 in save situations this season.
BJ had signed a 5-year, $47 million contract in 06 and had Tommy John surgery in May of 07. The Jays will owe the Southpaw the remainder of his salary. That will wrap up our news segment. We're going to kick things over to the injury report now. There will be no who's hot and who's not this week. The Hot Corner Injury Report. Just a few injuries to talk to you about this week. Randy Johnson, who was having a good year to date, was placed on the 15-day disabled list on Monday with a shoulder strain. Giovanni Soto was injured during batting practice and was placed on the 15-day disabled list on Saturday. He can miss a month with the injury being described as a strained left oblique muscle. The Los Angeles Angels placed both Torii Hunter and Vladimir Guerrero on the disabled list earlier this week. Hunter will miss some time with an adductor strain, while Guerrero was battling a strained muscle behind his left knee. That'll wrap up our injury report. I'd like to thank you all for tuning in this week. That was our 11th episode and part one of our two-part feature of the month. Next week, we will get together with Akon Statsanya again, and we will talk about some more trades as the speculations arise. This was the Hot Corner, episode 11. I'm your host, Ryan McKenna, and have a good week, folks. This has been a presentation of the Sports Superstation. This show was written, directed, and produced by Ryan McKenna. Technical director is Matthew McKenna. Assistant technical director is Mitchell McKenna. Special analyst, Adam Connolly. Thanks for tuning in. The world comes crashing down, down, down. My smile is tattooed. That means I'm permanently happy now, now, now. So many reasons to shed so many tears that I could drown. But I stay high and dry, floating above the water. Ain't nothing wrong.